Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. A nice secret guitar making his way down here now.
Oh, that might work out quite well.
There you go. Greg, you want to hop on here with us now? All right, yeah.
Pull up a chair. Fantastic.
Grab that chair there.
Yep.
Live radio. You like this? It's perfect. Perfect. All right. Be joined by Greg Bedard here of Boston Sports Journal here. How you doing, Greg?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I would love to. There's a lot less of you to have now. Than.
Yeah, I lost 100 pounds over the last couple of years.
So wow. Congratulations. That's amazing.
About a year ago, I hit it and have maintained. So, yeah, a big change that when I come to these things or the combine and stuff like that, the amount of people who, like, do double takes, they're like, wait, was that Bedard?
Walked by me yesterday and you waved, and I'm like, I think that was Greg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, good problem to have. So, yeah.
So Greg, looking at what's going on with the Patriots here over the last couple of years, this has been a little different. Obviously, you know, it was going to be different without Tom Brady there, much the same way it is with the Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger. When you make that change over from that kind of quarterback stability, are the Patriots right now, are they still searching at quarterback, or they feel like Mac Jones is the guy? Because there were some statements made yesterday by Belichick that
I think everyone loves to read into Bill's statements, and I understand, but you know, it's the way I explain it, the way I think that how he feel. I know that they really like Mac. Did everything go great last year from his perspective? No, and a lot of it wasn't his fault. The change to Matt Patricia as offensive coordinator and offensive line coach and Joe Judge as quarterback's coach was a disaster. From the first offensive practice and training camp, when they tried to go to a zone, outside zone running scheme, it was a complete disaster. And
they were doing Shanahan stuff, right?
Yeah, they tried. Of course, you know, the problem was they didn't have anybody on staff who had actually installed Kyle Shanahan's offense, which is a problem. They, you know, it'd be one thing if they brought in some sort of guru who had been under Shanahan for years. You could be like, okay, this guy's seen it implement. It was just a disaster. But, you know, I think the frustration boiled over with Mac Jones sort of about two-thirds of the way into the season. I'm sure some of you guys saw some of the national games where he was acting out. I think, you know, the Raiders game, I thought for the first time, I understood his frustration, but I thought that it really negatively affected the team in that game. I do think Mac got better by the end of the season. I thought he calmed down. He realized the error of his ways, but he was really frustrated.
Yeah.
And the thing is Bill has admitted to some people, and I don't think to the players, but he's admitted to people that he screwed up the offense. It was his fault. You see the change. They bring in Billy O'Brien. They bring in Adrian Clem to coach the line, who used to be with the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll talk about that, and I'm not sure how successful that's going to be. We're going to have to see. But I think they like Mac. I think they realized they screwed him up last year. They screwed everybody up, and I think they're going to give everybody a fresh start. And I think, you know, Billy O'Brien being there, it's going back to the Josh McDaniels offense. I think that Mac is in a position to be much more successful this year.
So Mac Jones is the poster boy for this, and you laid it out well. But the way I look at it, like Isaiah Wynn's still a free agent. But he didn't have a great year last year. But am I going to kill Isaiah Wynn for that? You know, I mean, I almost feel like anyone on offense almost gets a pass when you look at their career.
I wouldn't give one to Isaiah Wynn.
I mean, he had a rough year, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Isaiah Wynn, and I don't know if you bring him up because maybe the Steelers might have interest in him. I don't know.
I was just thinking guys on the open market. Yeah, I mean, look. Jacoby Myers or, you know, right.
Yeah, but Isaiah Wynn was a guy who, he was an undersized tackle. We thought he was overdrafted in their sort of disaster of the 2018 draft where they took Sony Michel and Isaiah Wynn in the first round instead of, say, Lamar Jackson or Shaq Leonard or Nick Chubb or, you know, a host of guys. But Isaiah Wynn, you know, he was fine for the most part as an undersized left tackle. The Steelers have gone through that with Beecham back in the day. Same sort of guy. I remember, yeah, I did a lot of comparisons to Beecham.
Who was a seventh-round pick and not a first-round pick.
Exactly. but the real issue with Isaiah Wynn is once they decided to pick up his fifth-year option, which I didn't blame them for, but as soon as they did that, he basically went on cruise control. He didn't show up to offseason workouts. Okay. He didn't do this. He wasn't, you know, he didn't stay in the lineup, and they were just done with him. And that's his attitude is the thing that you need to sort of investigate on how much he wants it, because he was getting paid and he was just fine. He didn't put in the work required.
So like a guy like him might have been part of the problem, not part of the solution.
Yeah, but
as
far
as the opposite.
Yeah, but one of the big issues that people don't really understand is that, you know, they changed the whole blocking scheme last year where, you know, part of the greatness of the Patriots offense under McDaniels, Billy O'Brien the first time around is that the quarterback could change anything at the line. You know, the number one goal of the offense was don't run into bad plays. All of a sudden they put Matt Patricia involved and they took away the line's ability and the quarterback's ability to even change plays at the line. Mm. So they would run into terrible. I had one player told me that if they just would have kept the line calls the same, they would have cut back on sacks and quarterback hits by half and also negative plays. I mean, just that sort of change just killed them and just didn't give them a chance to
taking
to
Max
be good
mind
from
the start.
Away
is oh, best
and David right. Andrews. And,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, yeah,
makes
I,
sense.
I did not because Max's not going to blow anybody away physically, but his mind is really good. It's really quick, and you take that away from him, that didn't make sense to me.
So last year at this time, the Patriots were in a similar situation to where the Steelers are now, young quarterback heading into year two, and they kind of hamstrung him in terms of what they did. The Steelers, on the other hand, brought back Matt Canada because they wanted to give that kind of continuity to their young quarterback. Is that the right way to go with that? I mean, would you have rather seen the Patriots keep it all together and
despite some struggles?
I think continuity is huge with, you know, mm-hmm. Dale, you've been covering the league a long time, just as I have. And, you know, I remember covering Nick Saban with the Dolphins back in the day. And who was it? Scott Linehan was his offensive coordinator the first year. And he got the job, I think, coaching the Vikings. And they brought in, I think it was Mike Mularkey was the offensive coordinator second year. And I remember Nick talking about, the Miami Dolphins playbook is the playbook. It doesn't matter who the offensive coordinator is. He's like, I learned that from Bill in Cleveland, where this is our playbook because we don't want to lose an offensive coordinator, especially when you're a defensive head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I think those guys get put in a bad spot because, you know, say like Robert Saleh in New York, if his offensive coordinator hits big, he's going to be gone. Now what do you do?
Right.
You know, whereas if you're an offensive head coach, you know that's the you could deal
that's
with
your
people.
Side of the ball. Yeah.
So I think I thought it was really interesting. I understand from Mike Tomlin's perspective why he did it, and it's probably continuity reasons. But I got to tell you, you know, the Patriots played the Steelers this past year,
right?
Didn't they?
Yeah.
And
oh,
I remember watching a lot of film, and I did not think much of the Matt Canada offense. I thought it was way too college, way too gimmicky for what they have. Especially, you know, with Pickett. I think Trubisky was starting.
He was still the starter.
Yeah, he was still the starter. I mean, it was one of – you look at the Patriots, everyone's like, oh, they were just 8-9. Yeah, how many backup quarterbacks did they end up beating? Like, I think if Kenny Pickett started against the Patriots, they probably lose that game. I think they beat 7 backup or third-string quarterbacks. Yeah. They couldn't beat Tua. They had to beat – Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, and then Skylar Thompson came in, and they ended up barely squeaking out that last game of the season. But I think
they got Wilson twice from the Jets, too.
Exactly. Right. And probably Mike White would have beaten them, mm-hmm. Games that were there to be won. But I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes with Matt Canada, because I do think as far as the pro game right now, it's a tough watch. Maybe he builds it more around what Kenny does well, which I do. I was impressed. I watched the film later on in the season against the Raiders.
Well, they changed the offense, too, at the break, where it went to a much more run-centric power running
heavier game. Personnel, yeah. J.D. Claypool.
Hopefully they're doing some play action because I think Kenny's really good at that. And I was really impressed. The film that I saw of the Raiders game, I was really impressed. And a few other games, I was impressed with what he did last year.
So nobody builds a roster like the Patriots. I mean,
got that right.
I mean, it's a strange way of doing things. I've often said Bill the coach bails out Bill the GM a lot.
And Tom the quarterback.
And Tom the quarterback sure helps. You know, he's a great deodorant. Who's the best player on this team?
In my opinion, it's Matthew Judon, clearly.
Okay.
I think part of the problem with the Patriots and the way they're building things, and you saw it even again this offseason, where they signed a special teamer in Chris Board. They bring back – these guys spend so much money and assets on special teams. When you just look, I mean,
and they
were horrible
on special teams last
year. They were horrible.
Year,
right? And you also look at it, according to Rick Gosselin's special teams rankings, which a lot of people in the NFL look at, the two worst special teams teams in the league were the Chiefs and the Eagles. And yeah. So there's no correlation. And Bill's still trying to win in the margins, thinking that he has the same quarterback. Or I guess he just doesn't want to acknowledge like how much Tom did. I mean, the amount of bad drafts and bad off seasons that they would have, and Tom would just take care of it with his greatness. And now they're at a place where you look at their roster and you're just like, where's the top-end talent? You think,
right.
Okay, Kyle Duggar, we've been waiting for 3 years for him to take the leap to be, you know, is he a great athlete?
Good player.
Yeah,
not
good.
Ramondre,
Barmore.
Great,
yeah. They're good.
Ramondre's good. Right, yeah. Barmore, if he can stay on the field, I think has a real chance. But, you know, other than
he's
that.
He's not Richard Seymour.
No. And, but you look at their defense statistically, and Bill's fallen into this trap where he's even referenced it, where we're a good defense statistically. Yeah, but how are you against Josh Allen? Now Aaron Rodgers is coming into the division. The Dolphins, you can't beat Tua. And, you know, have you bulked up at cornerback? No. Are they still going with 6'3", 260-pound linebackers that can't keep up in the passing game? Yes. Like, you know, it's just – it's. And then on offense, I do think they have some nice pieces on offense. You'd like another piece. But they just seem – Bill – If you had any doubts about who is in control of personnel and what they're doing, I think this offseason tells you it's just Bill being Bill, and he's going to be true to himself. And you know, he's going to be 71. Is that good enough? There's a lot of people in New England, and I think the owner is one of them that is getting increasingly impatient, and they need to do something this year.
It does seem like there's a little bit of owner impatience, which is rare. You know, like these two organizations that we're talking about, ours and yours. You don't see that very often. There hasn't been a lot of coaching changes lately.
Yeah, it's, you know, I asked Robert yesterday about how, you know, they have had two losing seasons in the last 3 years. And Robert, because earlier he referenced we had one losing season, like last year we were 8-9. And he, I guess he forgot because he was like, what was the second one? And it was the Cam Newton year. They were 7-9.
Right.
And then they were 8-9. And he was like, two losing seasons in 3 years. He said it like he I guess he didn't realize it, but I asked him point blank. I said, if that happens again, is Bill's job in jeopardy, or is he just here to set the Don Shula all-time wins record? He needs 19 wins to pass him and beyond. And he, you know, he said, look, I'm not here for stats. We're, you know, we don't keep players around for stats. I expect us to make the playoffs this year. If they You look at their slate. They have a much tougher schedule this year. Are the Steelers on the schedule? I think they are. I heard somebody mention that, you know, Kenny Pickett, they mentioned them in the group of quarterbacks.
Were they both in third place this year? The Steelers were third.
Yeah, I think that is how it works
and,
out.
You know, look, Kenny's a
– But it's good, in Pittsburgh again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kenny's, you know, a good young quarterback. I mean, last year, like we said, they beat a bunch of backups.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't happen again –
They were remarkably fortunate of the quarterbacks they faced. Unbelievable.
They really were.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, they have a really tough slate. Plus, once Aaron Rodgers lands in the division –
They're fourth in the division if Rodgers is a Jet, right? I mean,
yes.
they would be.
The betting markets say that, too.
Yeah.
And I think that, too. I think that the Dolphins now have Vic Fangio on defense, and they got Jalen Ramsey. I mean, I really wanted to see the Patriots be aggressive. Go get a number one cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. Go get a number one receiver in, like, say, DeAndre Hopkins
or somebody like that.
Or somebody like Jerry Jeudy, which who knows? It could happen. I think they're waiting for the prices to come down a bit. But they brought everybody back on defense. They bulked up on special teams, which there are fewer snaps than ever of competitive special teams. And on offense, they're hoping that Billy O'Brien is the solution. Is that going to be enough? It doesn't look like it, but that's why they play the games.
Well, they got more tight ends and things of that nature. That's
yeah, I mean, they got Gesicki, who's a big wide receiver. The guy does not like the block, which should be interesting in there. But they have Hunter Henry. What's really weird about this team is that they barely have anybody signed. They only have a few people signed for 2024. They have, like, nobody signed for 2025, and they have, like, $150 million in cap space. I mean, I've written a column where I said if you're just looking at that, and it could change because they have guys like Duggar, Michael Wenu, the guard, other guys, Matthew Judon, they could extend. They could get to extensions here, and that could evaporate. But right now you look at it, and you're like, 2024 looks weird. It almost looks like –
Kraft and, on the roster.
Well, yeah, that Kraft and Bill have an agreement that, hey, you can do whatever you want this year, but keep 2024 clean just in case we want to make it. We want to install, say, Jerod Mayo as head coach and make a change, and then they can decide on Mac Jones because you'll have to decide on his fifth-year option and who you want to bring back. So it looks like a reset year. We'll see.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see that happening with that franchise that's been, let's face it, a gold standard in the league for a long time here.
They got bumped off of Sunday Night Football last year for, I don't know, like some Giants-Washington game or something. I mean, that's
never would have happened.
That's not insulting to Robert Kraft. I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Our guest has been Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal.
Yes. Yep.
You didn't put your name on the logo.
Like I did not.
Like somebody else.
Like somebody else. Love you, DK.
But check out his work there. Great stuff. Nobody breaks down film like Greg and not just it's just you're meticulous with that stuff.
Thanks.
I don't know how you find the time to do it.
Yeah, but I love it. That's the fun part of the job, just grinding tape.
But this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio, and I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more from the owners' meetings right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And if you've been watching the show here on YouTube the last couple of days, you've seen our next guest here, Mark Caboli, kind of walking through and waving. And
I'm not the only one. I mean, you put yourself in a position where the
– Well, we didn't put ourselves
we get some foot traffic behind us.
Yeah.
It lights it up.
You're tired of looking
audience,
at us, too.
Your YouTube audience say, I know that guy.
So, Mark, we're here at the owners' meetings, and there's some stuff happening within the division, within the AFC, and obviously the Steelers have made some moves as well. Where do you think they're at right now in terms of what they still need to do?
Well, I like what they did in the offseason. I mean, still, obviously, we have to see them on the field. But on paper, the amount they paid for the guys that they filled the holes with, I don't think Omar or Andy could have did a better job. Right there, they addressed positions that I thought was obviously needed. I mean, they needed Larry O back, a healthier Larry O. They needed interior offense, any offensive lineman, really, because that entire offensive line's what, not under contract for another year or two. Sam Alu, if he stays healthy, should be a huge upgrade right there. But there's still some issues. And as Tomlin, I hate to parrot him, but I will. I mean, that's just one part of the process. I mean, you still got to look for that safety, I think. I don't know what type of safety, though. Do you want that box guy? I don't know who's covering Mark Andrews right now. No, I just don't know.
It's an interesting puzzle right now.
Either they have a plan and we don't know about it, or they're going to bring somebody in, or there's a scheme twist or something. I know I don't want to see Minka anywhere but playing center field. I don't know if KZ is his best spot is to come down there. I don't know if Arthur Millett is a guy who's going to cover people down the field of that size. So that's
there's even been Patrick Peterson talk, doing different things with him too.
That could be it too, but do you want him playing any run support off in the interior as well? So Peterson's going to be a big key to that. I still think you need to upgrade at least depth-wise on the tackles position. I mean, you got two guys that are, more than serviceable, getting better, but you need depth there. I mean, you probably have talked, you're not playing 99% of the snaps this year. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm sure you got some options on the interior now with Herbig playing center and both guards. Sam Ollie can play better, but what do you have on the outside? And if that draft breaks the wrong way, you're not going to get one of those in the top 17 picks.
No, they're hard to find. There's no question about that.
There's a couple things that need to be cleaned up, but we have to see them on the field. But I like the first 11 months so far of the new regime. It's something different, and I enjoy something different. So, which leads me to the draft, Dell, right?
Right.
We think we know what they like to do, but we don't know. I mean, Omar is a little bit more flamboyant than maybe Kevin was. So maybe they do pull a blockbuster and move up to get somebody.
See, I don't see them moving up. I don't see them doing that. I think that's an organizational thing that, there's one guy that has to sign off on any kind of move like that. And it would have to be a truly, we talked about it in a previous segment. What if Jalen Carter gets to 12? Yeah. You know, do you want to make that move? And I don't feel like they're one player away from being, a top team. I think they need to continue to build at some more positions to the point where you can't make that move that you did with Devin. You still had Ben Roethlisberger when you made the move up to go get Devin Bush, and you thought that was the missing piece. You were 2 years removed from going to the AFC Championship.
I just worry about sitting there at 17. You're saying, man, everybody we want and need are gone now. If I only gave up a hypothetical fourth-round pick to get above New England and I can get Joey Porter, who I like, hypothetically, do I do something like that? Maybe not 17-8, maybe 17-14.
Yeah.
I mean, the best-case scenario, I thought, if everybody's gone, would be 17-23 and add another pick, and you still get the guy you want. But that's the perfect world. When does that typically happen? You have to have another team to play with on the backside of that, too.
Well, it's a weird draft, Mark, when you start looking at it, in that, typically there's 12 to 15 guys that, these guys are number one draft picks. And I think this year it's like eight that you look at and go, that guy's a first-round draft pick. But then the next group
is deep.
The next group goes down to like 60. So from like 9 to 60, any of those guys can go in the first round.
Are you taking those quarterbacks in there, in that top nine, or those four quarterbacks?
See, I'm getting to the point now where I don't think Will Levis is all that. Our last triple take, I bumped Hendon Hooker ahead of him. I think he's a better prospect. He just has a knee injury right now. But
three are going to be gone, though.
Yeah, but three are going to be gone.
And good chance of four.
Once you get to that draft, and everybody's like, "Boy, I need a quarterback. Boy, I need a quarterback."
You get the Lamarcus Jackson situation sitting out there. You could be the Indianapolis Colts and say, "We need a quarterback," but you know what? We're going to wait and sign Lamar after that.
I'll do the Yinzer take. Why don't they just get somebody like Brock Purdy in the seventh round?
Yeah.
Everybody wants Brock Purdy now. You notice that? Oh, we had a great grade on him. We took this guy instead in the sixth round. Who just said that? One of these coaches just said that. Miami. Who was the guy that started the playoff game for Miami?
Skylar Thompson.
McDaniel said, yeah, we really love Purdy, but we took Skylar Thompson. Okay, if you love him that much, you're going to take Brock Purdy.
Mark, how content are you with the receivers? And, I mean, pass catchers, tight ends, wide out. Do they need one more?
I think they do.
I kind of lean that way, too, with the young quarterback.
We don't know what Calvin Austin can do. He was pretty highly regarded, obviously, because of his speed. I think Baltimore wanted him. But he's still, a fifth-round pick, right?
Fourth. And he flashed in camp, and I like Anthony Miller.
He got Cody White, who I don't think he can really take off the board right now. He shows a lot in practice squad when he's out there. But, their sweet spot there, man. That 32, 49, in that range, if you can get somebody there. I do think they need to add somebody there, and I think they will add somebody there because you can't go in thinking Calvin Austin is going to be serviceable. He might be. You can't think Gunnar Olszewski is going to do what he did in camp, which was unbelievable. Then who knows what happened to him. Then you can't rely on Cody White as well. And I don't know if there's much. I'm sure maybe Miles Boykin comes back. But
I still have some hope for Anthony Miller. I thought Anthony Miller was having a great camp.
But once again, do you want to rely your season on that?
Well, yeah. I don't know. So Matt's been banging the table for a tight end. For one of these dynamic young tight ends to pair with Pat Freiermuth.
Mm-hmm. I don't like Connor Hayward.
Connor Hayward. I just don't think he's a traditional tight end. I think he's Kyle Juszczyk behind the line of scrimmage. Not gimmick. I think he's a different type of player.
How about taking your tight end early and moving Connor Hayward to that slot type
of guy? I think he can do some of that as well. Yeah. Right. I think he's the wild card of all their skill guys.
But he's big enough. Mm-hmm. He can't block, but play like decent. He got great body control, and he's a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
That has a pedigree. I mean, he played well. I mean, you look at him, what did he end up with, 6-7 catches? It wasn't many.
But they were down the field stuff. Yeah.
They were very impressive. So I like
crossers
him as well.
And after the catch, and I think he brings
Gentry
something to the table.
Serves a great role, though, right? Those big defensive ends in the 4-3. Mm-hmm. How many guys do you have there just to block those guys? You don't. He's that guy that can do that. I mean, maybe he needs a little bit better hands and playmaking ability, but he serves a role. I would be a little disappointed if they take a tight end at 17.
I just not 17,
but like 32 or 49.
I just think that's the strength of the draft. And if you've read Paint, paint the board red. Yeah, I mean, and they play a lot of double tight end sets now. I have no problem with Gentry. I like bringing him back. I just think the defense doesn't fear him. And I want one more guy, whether that's a slot receiver or a tight end, that creates big plays and is fearful. Yeah. I mean, the defense is fear.
Their thought of going back to the power run game, mm-hmm. then adding the two tight end Belichick look, maybe they're thinking ahead. Mm-hmm. This is where the league might end up being going in.
You get lighter boxes. You get a lot of too high stuff.
Yeah, it's fascinating looking at where this could go this year, and I looked it up, Mark. It's been 20 plus years since they've had three picks in the top 50 like this.
Yeah, in the new era, what is it? The 70 something, what, 60? I know they didn't have 2 second round picks in the new era. The
it's probably since
era.
Like yeah, it's Merriweather trade and Ricketts.
You're right.
They've had two firsts. Yeah, right.
They had what 17 and 20. Well, those did turn out quite well, but I think they had a couple second round picks in the 60s or something.
But
like
this
that.
Is a situation where, especially in this draft, when we just talked about how the depth of this draft, you're going to get three premium guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you look at where they had 82.
Yeah.
Or 88.
Right, right. It's a deep class, too.
I mean, you can get – that's why I would hesitate of trading at all at 17. I mean, you're not a team that's ready to knock down the Super Bowl, but you get three or four starters out of this draft maybe in a year or so.
Well, yeah, if you look at what they've done the last – the previous two drafts, with what you've acquired, and then you add some young defensive talent, I think that's where this one's going to lean more to the defensive side. That now you've started to remake that roster with some young guys that are – of similar age.
I know another guy, what was the position, is that edge rusher. I mean, I don't want to use a high draft pick on an edge rusher when you got Highsmith and Watt probably locked up for the next 4 years, 5 years. But you need somebody, right? You want somebody who's not just a rental player every single year for the past 4 years. But I'm not going, Van Ness or anything like that.
Could that guy be Bud Dupree?
My buddy.
I would go more that route.
Again,
give me the veteran. He's
a player, right?
Yeah.
Right. Three, four straight years.
You get Justin Houston. You get Bud Dupree. I'd prefer not to use a pick on an edge guy.
I think it's a waste.
If you're not drafting a starter, mm-hmm. because I think if you take one in the first, if you take one at 17 or 32, you're almost saying you're not going to re-sign Highsmith.
Which you know they are.
Yeah. It's the balancing act.
A mute mm-hmm. point, right?
Yeah, it's a mute point. People say, the people – I love what Tomlin's kind of thrown a couple of jabs out there the last couple of days about people tracking his movements at these pro days and stuff. He was at Iowa only to look at Lucas Van Ness. Like, there's nobody else at Iowa they could possibly be looking at.
What was that a couple of years ago when he went to Clemson? Everybody thought he was looking at
– the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't even know who the quarterback was.
They probably had somebody else that was good.
Yeah, it was
year.
Martavis Bryant that year, I believe. Yeah. They ended up drafting him, and Hopkins was on that team, I believe.
Yeah.
So there's more than just that. What about inside linebacker? I'm curious because, to me, those three guys are the same or very similar traits of Robinson, Holcomb, and E-Rob.
See, I'm a little higher on Holcomb than you are.
I'm not high on him, but I don't think he can play that position of what we've been told that they've wanted for the past 7 years.
I wonder if their outlook is different and they've decided we're not going to keep throwing premium resources at it. If we're really strong on the back end and we have a really, really good defensive front, that's where we kind of cut corners and live with NFL players and hope Robinson turns into something and draft another in the fifth round.
Man, they can create matchup issues there. You know that.
What's that?
They can create matchup issues with two bigger interior guys. You know, they got all different type of formations to allow Rob Spillane to cover your mm-hmm. Keenan Allen, so to speak.
Oh, right, right.
So you have to be cognizant of that as well. Maybe Trenton Simpson. I don't know. But I wouldn't pick him at 17 either, right?
No,
I'd certainly consider him at 32.
Yeah,
definitely at 49.
Unless that ship has sailed. Maybe the hybrid inside linebacker, like you said, forget it. We want the thumpers. We want LeVon Kirkland. Maybe not that bad.
The thing is, if you look around the league of highly drafted inside linebackers, 9 out of 10 of them take 2 years before they get it.
Yeah,
Shanahan manipulates them and they run the wrong way, and they're athletes, and then you waste years. I mean. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. I think they have placeholders there, and I think Holcomb's more than that. But I don't know that you're going to get an instant star at that position. Just history shows that it takes a while.
Yeah, Bandarash.
Oh, all of them. I mean, even Roquan, as good as he is now, his first 2 years were rough. I mean,
Tremaine Edmonds was didn't really blossom until this past year.
I mean, look at all the first-round linebackers. Most of them take a lot of time or don't hit at all.
Or you guys you don't even know of. What was the guy from?
I mean, Rashawn Evans that everybody loved. He washed out that year, too.
What's his name? Fola, whatever his name is.
Everybody loves Devin
White. Oh, look at the guy who signed with Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went from Atlanta to Jacksonville.
Yeah, whose name nobody can pronounce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's the guy I would love.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just the reality of that position. It's you know, you're going to get manipulated by the quarterbacks or by the offense coordinators. That's just what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens here. But we're a month out from this, Mark.
Yes.
Do you see any free agent additions before the draft?
No, maybe somebody, but not anybody.
A Gentry level, maybe, but not anybody that's
not from the Steelers.
No, not necessarily. I mean,
even
just
there's nobody left on the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone coming back. But
well, we still got to look at that third quarterback, right?
You got to bring four to camp, and then they got two.
I know. I mean, I'm sure they're waiting until after the draft to see that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you don't think Rudolph's that guy, do you?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think Rudolph. All I've been told, he's no way coming back. But he's no way coming back until he doesn't have any other options.
Who else is asking him, right?
But Arizona doesn't have anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Colt McCoy's your starter.
But if you sign Mason to a 2-year deal and send Mitch on his way after this one, and you know, I don't know.
You got to look at that as well. So I mean, you would think a safety, but what's the only safety worth a dart out there right now? Josh Johnson.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was interested in Rapp. He got signed a day or two ago, and
like if they wanted those guys, they would have. I mean, me, I probably would have brought Terrell Edmonds back, but something tells me that wasn't the Steelers' choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Terrell Edmonds saying, "I tap out."
Yeah, not a hard position to find a serviceable guy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he had that role. He had that niche mm-hmm. where he fit in.
He was an inning eater, too. He played a lot of snaps.
So, once again, I think there's a plan. I don't know the plan. I mean, could the safety be a first-round pick? I mean, plug-and-play safety.
There's potential for that.
Our
guest has been Mark Caboli of The Athletic. Does great work there. You check that out. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'll be back to finish up the show today right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and this is The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live from the NFL meetings here at the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix. This will be our last segment today, Matt.
Yeah, coming down the home stretch. Last YouTube segment, too.
We'll do another show tomorrow, but it won't be on the YouTube channel. This will be mm-hmm. the last one today. I've had some good guests today. I did want to talk here real quick about some of the – so I'm looking here at our lads' current depth charts. So if you were ranking the quarterback rooms in the AFC North, how would you look at it now?
Since he's won by a wide margin, and okay. I don't even care who their backup is. Do they still have one of the bad Allens as their backup?
No, their backup is now Jake Browning,
that
whoever that
doesn't
is.
Doesn't change the needle at all. they might not be unwise to use like a fourth or fifth round pick on one of these guys. Someone that's cheap because Burrow's going to be so expensive. Far and away, they're number one, and that would put them over every quarterback room in the NFL except for Kansas City. I think he's that good. The Browns are still two, reluctantly. He was really, really bad there, but I've seen great play out of him.
Not in 3 years, though.
I would say that was 850 days ago. Steelers are three, and I think Baltimore is amongst the worst in the league right now.
I mean, right now.
Today.
There are only two quarterbacks still on this list right now who are listed in black. That's Lamar Jackson, who's a franchise player, and Tyler Huntley, who's a restricted free agent,
mm-hmm.
who hasn't signed his contract yet either.
Neither one of those are employed at the moment.
No, I understand that Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowl quarterback last year.
Well deserved. Right.
Then all they have left is Anthony Brown. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this Lamar situation, that's what we're talking about it so much.
They go to two the second he signs.
Yeah.
If he sticks around, I just think as he stays today, they have to be four.
Right.
and are minus, you know, one of the worst five in the league at the moment.
How about the running back position?
I don't know that Mixon's going to be a Bengal.
Well, right now he is.
Yeah. The Browns are one. I think Mixon really took a step backwards last year, so I'll put the Steelers two. Cincy, Baltimore.
Okay.
But one to four, or two to four is not drastically
splitting,
different.
Yeah, splitting some hairs there. At wide receiver.
Cincy.
Okay.
Ravens are four.
with ease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big Elijah Moore fan. I still will put the Steelers slightly ahead of them.
Yeah. I haven't seen these guys. Like, Donovan Peoples-Jones makes a play every two or
three
games.
Yeah.
But that's all he does.
I mean, Amari Cooper's a steady force.
Yeah.
He's a good player. You know, Pickens is still a little unproven, but I would put the Steelers ahead of them.
Okay. Tight end.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Browns, Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Offensive line.
Browns are still one.
Okay.
It's almost a three-way tie. I mean, they're pretty close.
Which goes against us. So when we talked about the rankings late last week on our show, those were Mike Clay's rankings. The Ravens were like one of the top six or seven lines in the league, and I just don't get it.
And they lost a starting guard, and I don't trust Stanley. You know, so they didn't add anything. And I thought I thought their line was better than Cincy's and Pittsburgh's last year. But as currently constructed, with the Steelers adding stuff and the Ravens losing stuff, I think those three are very, very similar.
Defensive tackle.
Browns are still last.
Yeah, it's Jordan Elliott and Dalvin Tomlinson, who they paid a gajillion dollars.
Steelers are first with Cam.
Yeah.
The Bengals are two with Reader.
Yeah.
Baltimore's not very strong there.
I mean, it's Broderick Washington and Michael Pierce.
They're actually four. Tomlinson's better than those guys.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. How about on the edge?
Steelers are one. Browns are two.
Okay.
Bengals are three. Ravens are four.
Yeah.
I think that's very clear.
Yeah. And then they list outside linebackers and defensive ends differently here.
Yeah, okay.
Off the ball linebackers.
Ravens are one. I mean, Roquan's a star.
Yeah.
Steelers are four, but the Browns are pretty bad there. That's a tie for third/fourth, and the Bengals are two. One and two are obvious to me. Three and four are the same.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you look at those inside backers for the Browns, it's bad. It's bad. Cornerback.
Corner.
This used to be a slam dunk for the Ravens, and it's no longer that.
No, I think their first-round pick has a very good chance to be a corner.
Even though they need wide receivers as well.
Right now, those are the two big needs, and they don't have a quarterback.
I mean, right now, it's Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Stevens.
No.
Ugh.
They don't have anybody else under contract.
Jalen
right?
Armour, Davis, Daryl Worley.
Okay.
Trayvon Mullins, who they signed. Like, just guys.
I still put the Steelers last. Ravens third. Bengals one. Browns two. But
I think I have the Steelers ahead of the Ravens.
Do you?
I think Patrick Peterson can still play. There's not a ton of difference between Patrick Peterson now and 30-year-old Marlon Humphrey.
I hear you. Steelers have better depth. I don't know if Levi starts for them. Both teams could use a first-round pick there.
Well, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean when we usually have this conversation, the corner rooms are usually a lot better than this in this division.
Yeah.
I mean, they're down from their normal standards.
You're putting the Bengals ahead of the Steelers as well with Ouzier and Taylor Cambritt, or Cambritt Taylor?
Slightly. And Hilton.
Cam Taylor Britt.
And Hilton.
Yeah. Hilton.
I mean, he's a corner.
He's a corner. I get it. Safety.
Steelers are one because, I mean, that's a
– Minka carries a lot of weight.
I like the Ravens pairing still. Yeah. Williams and Hamilton is a really good group. And the Browns are four, so Cincy's three. Cincy's four. Cincy's four, too, right? Nice loss to both starters, right?
Yeah, I mean, their starting safeties right now are Dax Hill, who we liked last year.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything.
We don't know what he did.
Right.
And Nick Scott.
And the Browns lost Josh Johnson, though. They lost one of their starters.
They got Grant Delpit and Juan Thornhill.
Yeah, that's better than what the Bengals have right now.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd go Steelers, Ravens, Bengals. Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals.
You might be able to make the argument that the Ravens are number one there in the division.
At safety?
With Marcus Williams and Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, their second guy is really strong. Yeah. And Williams is a really good player.
Which, again, leads me to the why, you know, you might see the Steelers mm-hmm. do something there in the draft.
I mean, I think KZ's a quality player, but he's fourth in that conversation.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Those two are close. Yeah. They stand at the top.
Yeah, the other two are just kind of, mm-hmm. eh.
Yeah, they got hit hard.
I mean, very hard.
Very hard.
Very hard. Very hard. But interesting.
Subject to change. I mean, going back to our Ravens conversation, they haven't added anything all offseason.
Right. I mean, it's
and we just put them fourth at quarterback. Yeah. So that's.
You know. Gerard and Alec are here going kicker, kicker. Nobody cares about the kickers.
Baltimore's one. Boz is two. The second
Cincy's
year
three.
Cincy's three. And
Cleveland's.
Right.
Searching.
There you go.
Yeah. It's not that hard. Guys happy now?
There you go. Tucker's still one.
Tucker is still number one. But
I'm not doing punters or long snappers.
But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, when you talk about this Lamar Jackson, that's why we've talked about it so much. Mm-hmm. It has a massive ripple effect through the division.
No doubt about it. And, I mean, what the most intriguing thing to me is I think he's going to play – of course he's going to play somewhere. I don't think he's going to be a Raven. I don't know that bridge is totally burned.
I got some breaking news here for you.
Oh,
Matt.
Do you?
I do.
Bring it on.
The NFL has approved some new rules and bylaws here.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay, so kickers will now be able to wear 0 to 49 or 90 to 99. You can see a number 0 out there this year.
Kickers with a 99 on their back is going to be pretty funny looking.
They will be allowed to make an adjustment to the play clock following instant replay reversal consistent with other timing rules. Okay, big deal.
Right.
Houston's expand the replay official's jurisdiction to allow review on failed fourth down attempts. So that was taken care of.
Okay.
By the competition committee to change the definition of a launch to leaving one or both feet. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of figured that would pass.
The tripping file did come through, so that will now be a personal file.
We thought that would tripping. Do it, right? We talked about it earlier.
They passed it's a penalty now for illegally handing the ball
I never
forward
understand
consistent
what
with other illegal acts. I don't know.
I didn't know what that meant.
You're also now, it's a penalty for illegal punts, drop kicks, or place kicks consistent with other illegal acts, such as the forward pass.
Not true.
Which is a loss of down. And
Yeah. So I'm shocked that didn't happen earlier in NFL life.
You can't, the offense is prevented from benefiting from an extension of the half as a result of their foul. And finally,
like taking a penalty on purpose,
clarified the usage of the helmet against an opponent by removing the butt ram spear language from Article 8 and incorporating to those.
I'm not particularly in tune with Article 8 off the top of my head. So.
The bylaw summaries to change the claiming period from Monday for players who are waived to Friday and sat on the Friday or Saturday to the last week of the regular season. To insert strength of victory as a second tiebreaker for awarding contracts. So if you claim somebody, if you have the same record
for waivers,
strength of victory for waivers. And then to adjust the rules for postseason signings to account for the standard elevations rule to freeze postseason rosters, 4 p.m. New York time on Wednesday following the last week of the regular season.
Not earth-shaking news there.
No, nothing great there.
No. I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of changes with the rules.
They did go to one cut-down date for the rosters in training camp. So it will all come at one time.
So it'll be an avalanche of signings and stuff.
Avalanche of signings. So nothing major. Like some of the things that we talked about there, mm-hmm. the pushing of the
advancing, helping runners and things like that.
Yeah, that didn't pass.
What'll be interesting, though, is we'll start hearing – mini camps, what are the points of emphasis this year?
Those will be key.
Those are when they really push things.
Those will definitely be key.
Yeah, I'm curious what that'll be. I mean, who knows what it is.
Absolutely.
Points of emphasis will be a big term coming up.
We'll hear from Art Rooney the second later. He'll come out and talk about
some of these things.
We'll see what he thinks is a big deal out of this. I don't see a lot of major changes there. People are still going to recognize the game. The idea of the punts going out to the 25 didn't pass.
That was odd that it didn't.
That would have been one that the fans definitely would have recognized. Mm-hmm. But
all in all, these are the least changes I can remember in any offseason.
I'd say
least significant.
Yeah, other than fans will recognize when they see somebody running around out there with number zero on.
Yeah, or a kicker with 99 on. I think he's Wayne Gretzky. Right.
Yeah, so go get your Steelers zero jerseys now on Steelers.com. A little shameless promotion there. Matt, that's going to do it for the show today.
There you go. Good stuff.
Absolutely. We will be back again tomorrow with the show, but we won't be joining you on YouTube. So.
Right.
Sorry, YouTube folks.
I think we're back on Friday as well.
We will be back with the show Friday, week, right? Then we'll wrap up
back
the
to our normal
week
schedule after that.
Start getting back into the mock draft stuff.
Yeah, we haven't done that in a while.
April's right here. It's right there. So.
Yeah, we haven't had a lot of draft talk yet.
We have not. Well,
maybe more
we've
tomorrow.
We've done a lot of draft talk, but not this week.
Yep.
But so if you missed any of our show today, you can download full episodes of all of our SNR podcasts, shows such as The Drive, In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks, The Steelers Blitz with Wes and Motes, The Steelers Standard with Tom and Jacob, as well as many more. They're all available on the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the Steelers YouTube page. Lots of good content there as well. But for my partner, Matt Williamson, for CJ back in Pittsburgh keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.